Welcome to Cartoonist Kayfabe. My name is Jim Rugg.
I'm Ed Piskor.
Pretty fun one, Ed. Toxic Avenger visiting trauma, but let's see Red Room. Seems perfect.
Yeah, man. Like, let's see this juxtaposition real quick, man. Red Room issue one. It's going to be coming out May 2021. Monthly comic. Murder on the dark web for fun and profit. The lead is not buried, man. Using the technology of today to make a horror comic that couldn't have been possible even 10 years ago. Like I said, it's going to be coming out monthly, so get it put on your pull list for this first issue. Several different flavors, man. That's the Ed Piskor variant, the Jim Rugg by way of Dan Clow's April issue 1 variant, Peach Momoko variant, and the Third Eye Comics variant that you have to get exclusively through the Third Eye comic stores. Look online, talk to your retailer, figure out how you could get these different covers. And if you want to read the issues ahead of time, hit my Patreon, patreon.com/Ed Piskor. Got 3 issues up there right now.
You can find my work at patreon.com/Jim Rugg, where I post a lot of my out-of-print, hard-to-find zines, such as this ballpoint pen catalog. I do a lot of original art there, a lot of process stuff. If you like what we do here on Cartoonist Kayfabe, it's a lot more of that, mostly aimed at my own art and art making and comics making. Patreon.com/Jim Rugg. But Ed, the reason we're here today to talk about Marvel's Toxic Avenger came out in 1991. Marvel actually did a couple of properties of Toxic Avenger and Toxic Crusaders, but I would have bought my original copy off the newsstands at the time. That's where I was getting my comics, and love this cover. Just from the get-go, amazing. This feels really strong and pretty awesome. And that kind of looks like your Zipitone running along the edge of that logo. So pretty cool looking from the beginning, from this cover in.
Toxic Avenger has a very special place in my heart, Jim. When I had the little membership card to our very first mom-and-pop video store, Best Video on 8th Avenue in Homestead, walk in there, saw a giant Toxic Avenger poster. I was like, Dad, I gotta see that movie. And he was like, I think I do too, son. And we rented the thing, and it was incredible. Like, Troma is known for, like, just goofball kind of nonsense flicks. I like a lot of them personally, but this one had a budget, and this one had a bigger budget than even Toxic Avenger 2, because that costume started to get very streamlined and Halloween costume like. But that first one was incredible. It was superhero for the 80s.
That's what I was going to say. It makes perfect sense as a comic character.
Totally. Like, Stan Lee on Citizen Toxie, Toxic Avenger 4, Stan Lee does the intro piece. And there's actually, this just comes to mind right now. There's actually a cartoonist, softcore nude scene, maybe the first ever in the history of cinema. And it's Kevin Eastman and the late, great Julie Strain. And he's giving her the motorboat at the Playboy Mansion. It's very disturbing to see a cartoonist in a sexual situation. I have to tell you that.
That's funny. Well, let's start flipping through, and we'll just kind of call out things that make sense to us as we go along. The first thing for me, I love this art.
Rod Ramos, man, and Val Mayerick, like pretty good tandem. When you see it right here, to me, it looks like rank and file house style of that early 90s, like after the post Jim Lee period, where you see these crazy hatches and stuff. But when we start getting into shit, man, like it's gonna,
you know what it reminds me of from that early 90s, and man, I love this. I think that's just awesome. Ghost Rider I think came out in 1990, and I was into that, and this book feels very much like that aesthetically to me. And part of it is I think the black gutters, but also just the amount of ink that is on these pages, it has that dark quality.
Mayerick's, that's Mayerick bringing his stuff to the table, man. I know he's one of those guys, he was doing everything he could early on. So he actually did American Splendor comics with Harv for a minute. And then he was doing those like Larry Hama, those weird Bushido, young masters and stuff like that. And you know, he did his tour through Marvel.
Boy, Journey Boy and Indigo, early Marvel graphic novel.
Yeah.
I always associate him with that.
The video games are important to me here. We just saw Double Dragon 3, which is probably the worst of those. Yes. Because you only get one life in that one. And Mega Man 3.
Yeah, funny. They're keeping pace sequel-wise. One of them's going to pull ahead soon.
Yes.
First encounter in the junkyard with some of these Uzi-wielding bad guys that are part of the main enemies.
It has the trauma vibe, you know? Like, we have no idea what these dudes are doing there. Cool design aesthetics. And Doug Munch is the writer, and he's hip to the campy nature of the stuff. There's actually like good gags here, man. And they're exploiting, like, you know, Troma has 10 cents to rub together to try to make their movies happen. Infinite budget of the comic page, man. So you could get a bunch of gas trucks to come in.
Fun cartooning too, like throwing this guy in a stack of tires and rolling him down the hill into the toxic waste and stuff. It moves really well.
It does. Yeah. Like that's probably a little bit of Marvel method where Rod Ramos is able to do his thing. But this is pretty awesome stuff, man. Like, I feel like that wouldn't be code approved in the 60s.
Surprising. Yeah. I think a lot of this comic, it always surprises me when we go back and look at these comics of what is code approved. Like everything, none of it would have passed in the 60s.
Yeah. Paper Tiger in the 90s, man.
Yeah, for sure. He grabs a cab to chase down the third member of this gang that gets away. Can't drive for shit. Ends up wrecking that everywhere.
Got bad peripheral vision when your eye's on the side of your head.
One's dangling in front of your face.
If your eye is next to your ear, you might not be granted a driver's license.
But he continues chasing after this guy, and we see that another part of their business is they're trying to take over this spot for the Home of the Blind, this institution. This is your business person that goes in to try to purchase that land.
And it doesn't work out, so they bring 3 gasoline trucks, man, to just douse it.
Just spraying it with gasoline and lighting it on fire.
Okay, this will take 2 seconds, but could I tell a Lloyd Kaufman story?
Please.
When I was at San Diego Comic-Con, every pro who goes there, you know the deal. You got to go to Ralph's to get your snacks and stuff. I was heading to Ralph's, and I was there days early because I was on the little group that was going to choose the Eisner Award for Best Shop. So if the festival starts on Wednesday, I was there Monday. And I'm going to Ralph's, man. It's always the first thing I do when I touch down and get to my hotel. Got to get my big thing of waters and stuff. There is no audience around Lloyd Kaufman. Like, he's just getting some peaches or something. And a couple kids do come by. And they're like, oh, can I get an autograph? Signs an autograph. And, like, the Mexican dudes that were putting out the peaches and stuff, they looked at him differently. There's nobody. I'm the only person there. And Lloyd Kaufman looks at the Mexican dudes. He's like, my name's Mel Brooks. He's not performing for anybody but himself.
That's amazing. There's another game for you, Silver Surfer.
Super hard one, man. Unforgiving.
It feels like such a level of pop culture in this era. Right, all these video games next to a licensed Toxic Avenger comic.
And like, there's so much, like, titties and stuff in Toxic Avenger. Like, it's going to get a cartoon. Attack of the Killer Tomatoes is going to get a cartoon at this era. All these, like, weird, like, they were just able to buy up these cheap 70s properties and do stuff with them.
People criticize, like, 80s pop culture. That early 90s is a wasteland of just, you know, Rotten Tomatoes as a cartoon. Keep trying.
I still remember the song, man.
Hire some new blood in that company. I love this part. So it's a really cool punch to the face, but check out the payoff.
Hokuto Shinken. Yeah. Like it's fucking Kenshiro, dude.
Completely, man. His nose is sideways.
That is perfect trauma aesthetic right there, man.
Yeah, very strong. And the blind girl that he saves falls in love with him.
This thing was adapted so many times. Like, they got so much right with Toxic Avenger.
They did. That's what surprised me, like, going through this again, because I had this as a kid and got rid of it and then rebought it not too long ago. And I'm going through it, and it's like, it's so much better than I remembered. I look at, like, the drawing here. It has this super quick urgency. It's there are Gary Panter drawings that remind me of, like, this girl's figure and the way the legs are drawn and stuff. it just, I don't know, man. It's a perfect marriage, I think, of character, concept, style, and comic. Just really fits together well. I love the Toxic Avenger ends up with this girlfriend. You know, it's perfect.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, that's how it works in the flick, you know? But now we got to get that's the origin story.
Love seeing the face profile, almost like the McFarlane, you know, the famous McFarlane page layout of the profile.
Totally.
Yeah, so flashback on who is he? How did he get here?
There's Melvin. And that's not a very good Melvin. It looks too good, actually. Like, he's a real goofy-looking feller in real life, man.
Yeah, they probably could have pushed that a bit more. There's a lot going on, though, for a single issue of a comic. You know, like, lots of panels here.
It's only 22, 23 pages, too.
Yeah, pretty full. Subplots building for what's going to be, you know, next issue storyline is more of this toxic waste is coming in. About as much TNA as you're going to get in a Marvel comic. That was definitely approved.
That was definitely a boob sequence in the thing when he kisses the pig in black and in the dark. Do you remember that? Kisses the pig in the dark setting. Turn the lights on. All the people are there, and he's mortified. He just got bullied. He just got shamed.
Yeah, poor guy. Traumatic. I used to watch, like, we would get horror movies from, you know, video store weekend things at my buddy's house, and he was the only guy I knew that read comics. So before I even read comics, like, we would be watching horror movies in the middle of the night, and they'd have, like, a really crappy box of comics. Not, like, a long box or a short box, sure, but, like, a cardboard box with just comics stacked. And I had no idea what was going on, but there was that mild attraction and association between... I watched Toxic Avenger with him. It reminds me a little bit of, like, Sam Raimi, you know, that early Sam Raimi stuff of kind of tongue-in-cheek, having fun next to, like, you know, horror or action or something that I wouldn't always associate that kind of comedy stuff in terms of genre.
Yeah.
It's another great sequence.
The transformation sequence, it's a staple of, you know, mainstream comics, and it's very hard to do. You never see it with a panel injected in the middle of the transformation.
I like how that works, and I like these speed lines and the way they're treated. They're very clumsy. They're almost that dumb line that we'd have hear Mazzucchelli talk about, where they're very even instead of, like, feathered out.
Right.
And we'll see a couple. There was a panel earlier like this. We'll see another one before this ends, but I find it striking, especially with that yellow. It really, the dark figure pops. They look cool together. Bonnie and Clyde for a very different.
I do get mad at the colorist for coloring in the eyes. Sometimes.
He does do that a lot.
A lot, yeah.
Sometimes in, like, prominent face shots.
He doesn't know. All green. He doesn't know that that's the eye.
You know what's great, though? It almost fits the comics. Like, really shitty, like, I have that Cyborg movie comic tie-in. They're almost done as, like, Speed, where it'd be, like, he'd all be green. You know, if I were coloring this to look retro, I would just make him all green as, like, that. It's shitty, cheap, quick-produced comic style, which fits this, you know? Toxic Avenger should kind of look that way.
This doesn't make any damn sense, man. The pitcher for the Atlanta Braves that used to rock on us all the time, and it's an image of him sliding into home base.
So right.
He kicked our asses so much during that Bobby Bonilla, Andy Van Slyke era.
Yeah, for sure. There's that other panel of the yellow background with those speed lines that I really like, and he's very just green, you know, almost flat. It does color one eyeball, or doesn't color it, I guess, but mostly just that flat green, that classic comic book coloring. And then you get through to the 666 tank that's coming in for the next issue, and no tanks, I already ate.
Lloyd Kaufman wishes he had the budget to have a tank in one of his flicks, man.
So, Toxic Avenger number one, a very different comic than the Toxic Crusaders that they were doing, that was almost like a Star comic or something.
It was a cartoon adaptation.
Yeah,
we had the figures.
A very different approach, but I think they do pretty well with this. If you're gonna have a Comics Code approved Toxic Avenger, I don't know if you could do it much better.
I'm gonna read the other issues, and Lloyd, I'll give you a rate, man, for my own Toxic Avenger adaptation.
That would be amazing. It's a pretty fun one. You know, kind of a weird comic in Marvel Comics history.
It was
super happy that they gave it a shot. What a great team up. Almost like you know, Marvel team up with Saturday Night Live or something. You know, just a weird pop culture fringe culture kind of thing.
They were making deals, man. There was a T2 comic that was out around this time. Like, all this stuff was on the spinner rack at that same moment, on the strength of that Todd McFarlane, Rob Liefeld, Jim Lee money.
And you think of all the ones, all these kind of licensed things that Marvel does, they get so many of them wrong. We might look at Double Dragon at some point for an example of that. This one, I think they did pretty good.
Not bad, man. Kayfabers, like, follow, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Hit the bell. We'll notify you when new vids are available. Jim, what's out there?
Join me on patreon.com/JimRug, where you can download some of my hard-to-find out-of-print zines and minis. You can see lots of my original art and process and kind of see how I make comics at patreon.com/JimRug.
Red Room issue number one is out in stores May 2021. It's going to be coming out on a monthly basis. Horror on the dark web for fun and profit. Fits the trauma aesthetic to a certain degree. You could pre-order the comics at my link tree in the description below this video. You could read the comics at my Patreon that is in my link tree in the description below this video.
Yeah, I could see toxic waste factoring into an entertaining Red Room video.
There's some acid play in this latest issue I'm working on.
You can subscribe to the Cartoonist Kayfabe e-newsletter at the links below this video to keep up with everything we have coming up in 2021. You can find Cartoonist Kayfabe t-shirts and merchandise in the links below this video.
Jimmy, give him one last set of merchandise, man. We're going to be on our way.
Read more comics.